The Aeneid's influence, of course, was reiterated, solidified, re-recognized in the early 14th century when Dante, the great Italian poet, chose to include Virgil as a character in his Divine Comedy, not just as a character, but as Dante's guide through the Inferno and through Purgatorio, and not just as Dante's guide, but as someone whom Dante revered, almost idolized. In the opening of Inferno, when Virgil appears to Dante as Dante is lost in the dark wood, Dante tries to figure out who this strange person who's appeared to him is. And when he recognizes Virgil, he's absolutely overwhelmed. He says, "Or sei tu quel Virgilio? Are you that Virgil?" And then he goes on to say to the ghost of Virgil, "Tu sei il mio maestro ed il mio autore. You are my teacher and my author." And he says, "You are the one who gave me my bello stilo, my beautiful style. You're the person from whom I drew the beautiful style of writing," Dante says, "that has given me so much honor." So Virgil appears in the Divine Comedy as the author of the Aeneid, but also as Dante's guide through the afterlife. And of course, Dante models a great deal of the Divine Comedy, particularly his narrative of the Inferno, on Aeneid Book 6. Virgil's influence and the Aeneid's popularity and influence continued to grow during the Renaissance and after. To name only English authors, it's impossible to imagine the works of such authors as, say, Marlowe. One of Marlowe's earliest plays is about Dido and Aeneas and actually includes whole chunks of the Aeneid in Latin, because Marlowe could assume that his Elizabethan audience, at least the audience he intended this play for, knew the Aeneid well enough that they would recognize the lines, that they would understand what Dido and Aeneas were saying to one another. Spenser, who wrote The Faerie Queen, Milton, of course, Milton's great epic Paradise Lost, it's impossible to imagine any of those authors writing the works that they wrote without the Aeneid. As we move on into the 19th and 20th centuries, in the 19th century, Tennyson referred to Virgil as the wielder of the stateliest measure ever molded by the mind of man. I think I've got those words right. And moving on into the 20th century, perhaps his influence is less obvious, but when George Bernard Shaw titles one of his plays Arms and the Man, he is quoting Dryden's translation of the opening lines of the Aeneid. The Aeneid's influence continues to the present day, perhaps less obviously, but it does continue in Europe and in America both, not just in literature and the arts, but in popular culture as well. Anyone who refers to a Trojan horse, whether as a computer virus or in any other context, is, whether they know it or not, referencing Virgil. Anyone who mentions Greeks bearing gifts, whether they know it or not, they're quoting Laocoon in Aeneid Book 2. Anyone who uses the name Ulysses rather than Odysseus for the hero of the Odyssey is harking back to Virgil. That's why we tend to learn Ulysses first rather than Odysseus, why we tend to think of that hero as Ulysses, because that's what Virgil calls him. On a wider level, the Aeneid still stands in many ways as the paradigm for epic adventure in Western culture. Any adventure that has epic overtones in it, any story of a hero's journey and a hero's travels, is to one extent or another influenced by the Aeneid. A great deal of ancient literature has been irrevocably lost, most bits of it through simply the vicissitudes of time and chance, not because anyone intended to destroy it, but because it simply was not copied and did not survive. We know, or we think we know, from Servius and Donatus, that Virgil himself wanted to destroy the Aeneid. And that's a story that gives me a shiver down my spine whenever I think of it, how close we came to not having this preeminent monument of Roman literature and of Western civilization. How unutterably lucky we are that Augustus refused the last request of the dying Virgil and saved the manuscript of the Aeneid for us from the flames of oblivion.
I'm Tom Rollins, president of The Teaching Company. I hope you've enjoyed these extraordinary lectures from our Great Courses on Tape series. To order your next course, call our customer service representatives at 1-800-TEACH-12. That's 1-800-832-2412. or browse our website at www.teachco.com. Thank you very much.